The healthcare system in the United States is facing some serious problems. The average person is living longer than the previous generation, but many find themselves in their older years plagued by disease. You can have better health, and the place to begin is before you're sick. There are simple steps anyone can take to begin enjoying more vitality and radiant health. Today on Good News Radio, we join host Gary Petty in San Antonio, Texas, for part two of Secrets to Better Health. Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The state legislature of California has proposed a law requiring the food industry to label shellfish with a message warning, "This food may be dangerous to your health." And it's interesting that thousands of years ago, the Creator sat down with a group of people and said, "Now let me tell you what foods are dangerous to your health." And this is the cause of so many diseases and illnesses we have in this country. Now, many Christians believe that the laws concerning clean and unclean meats are no longer applicable. In fact, if you asked, I think, a lot of Christians about what are the clean and unclean meat laws, they might not even know what you're talking about. Some people say, "Well, let me see, I know Orthodox Jews don't eat pork, so it has to do something with that, right? You shouldn't eat pork." But they really know very little about them. There in Deuteronomy 14 and Leviticus 11, there are instructions on what kinds of birds to eat. There's even instructions on what kind of insects you can eat and not eat. And I don't think anybody will be disappointed, but you can't eat cockroaches. There's all these instructions on what is healthy for a human being to eat and what isn't, what was designed. And yet they believe that, well, those laws don't apply today because somehow they had to do with the sacrifices. Well, there's a fallacy in that. It is true that only clean animals were allowed to be used as sacrifices to God in both the tabernacle and the temple. That's true. But many of the instructions given about clean and unclean meats have to do with animals that have nothing to do with sacrifices. There were no fish sacrifices in the temple. There were no insect sacrifices in the temple. And yet there are all kinds of instructions on what fish you can eat and what you can't. One of the fish that was mentioned that you cannot eat in Leviticus 11 is catfish. Catfish are scavengers. Once again, catfish will clean up a pond or a lake. But where does all the toxins go? It goes into the catfish. That's the point. It's like using a vacuum cleaner to get all the grime and dirt and stuff out of the carpet and then saying, "Okay, open up the bag, let's have dinner." Because that's what it was designed for. Is the vacuum of water, so that the earth would keep renewing itself so that it would be fit for human beings to live here. Now, there are a couple scriptures in the New Testament that people turn to say, these scriptures prove that it's, you know, okay to eat whatever you want to eat. And one is in Acts, and I want to take some time to go through that. Go to Acts chapter 10, if you have a Bible with you, Acts chapter 10. I want to take some time to go through this because this is a very, very important passage. It actually has something to do with the gospel. This passage is a whole lot more important than what it's usually relegated to, which is what food you can eat. It's a whole lot more important than that. It's talking about Peter. Look at verse 9 of Acts chapter 10. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." The word "common" there means something that would be ceremonially unclean. So you could eat something or do something in Jewish society that made you unfit for the temple. You had to go through ceremonial washings and different ceremonies to be able to go into the temple. So to be made common would mean to eat something that was not kosher. But to unclean means to eat something that's not on one of those lists of what you can eat in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. Peter says, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So here comes this sheet down in his vision, and when it opens up, I mean, there's snakes in there, and pigs in there, and vultures in there, and all kinds of animals, and he's told, "Eat these things." He says, "I can't do that." Three times that happens. Now, this passage then is used to say, see, God has cleansed all foods, therefore it's okay to eat them. Now, understand what that means. What that means is that God created certain meat that was not designed for human consumption. And somehow at the cross of Christ, God changed the molecular structure of all those animals. And if this is to be taken literal, then you can go eat cat, dog, anything you want. Because somehow their molecular structure has been changed. Because remember, we're talking about biology here, chemistry. It has been changed so that it's no longer harmful to the human being. And yet, medical science tells us you really shouldn't eat zebra. You really shouldn't eat tiger. And yet, if this is to be taken at what that means, that's what it would mean. Well, we know through modern science that the molecular structure of these animals wasn't changed. So if it wasn't changed, then what does this mean? Well, let's look at it in context. Let's take a little time to look at this in context. Let's go back to verse 1. Verse 1. Because this sets the stage for what we just read.
We'll be back to hear more about Secrets to Better Health. But first, here's how you can get your free copy of our booklet, Clean and Unclean Meats.
Some people believe that certain New Testament scriptures remove all distinctions between clean and unclean meats. But what do these passages really say? Most theologians assume that God's laws regarding clean and unclean meats ended at Christ's crucifixion. But is this what the Bible says? To help dispel misunderstandings, we have released a free booklet titled, What Does the Bible Teach About Clean and Unclean Meats? A careful examination of the scriptures reveals the issue to be different from what many people assume. A copy of this new booklet, along with a free subscription to the Good News magazine, is available free of charge by calling 1-800-966-9232. To learn more about this important subject, be sure to request your free copy of What Does the Bible Teach About Clean and Unclean Meats? You'll be glad you did. Call right now. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. Today on Good News Radio, we join host Gary Petty in San Antonio, Texas, where he is talking about important secrets to better health.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian Regiment. So here we have a Roman soldier, an Italian Roman soldier who is a centurion. That means he's in charge of 100 men. He's an officer. But verse 2 says that he is a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. A God-fearer was a very special person in Jewish society because it was a non-Jew that had not become a proselyte. A proselyte was someone who totally, completely converted to Judaism. A God-fearer was someone who worshipped Yahweh, the God of the temple, but was not circumcised and did not go through certain ceremonies and therefore was unqualified to participate in temple worship and other things, but was accepted as a believer, a true believer of God. And so we have this Roman soldier who is a God-fearer. He and all of his household, his family, his servants, they all worship God. An outcast in the Roman world and basically living on the fringe of the Jewish world. This man obeying God. Let's look at verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly a vision of an angel coming in to him saying, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And so that's what he does. He sends these men to Joppa. Now they get to Joppa just about the time Peter has had this strange vision. Now let's pick it up in verse 17. Because Peter now jumps up and says, Yippee! He runs down to his wife and says, Fry up some pork chops tonight. Let's go out and let's find ourselves a mule to kill. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So he wakes up out of this vision, and at the same time, down below, there's a knock on the door, and here's some servants from this Italian officer. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So God now tells Peter, go with these men. Now you have to understand why God would have to tell him to do this. In that first century Jewish world in which Peter lived in, for him to have that close of contact with a Gentile, especially Romans, pagans who occupied their land, for him to have that close contact with them would make him ceremonially unclean. He would have to go through certain rituals before he could ever go in and do a sacrifice in the temple, because he was now ritualistic unclean. And so God tells him, no, you are to go. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius, and he said, this is verse 21, Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. And he invited them in, and he lodged with them. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied them. Now notice verse 24. And the following day, when they entered Caesarea, now Cornelius was waiting for them, and had called together his relatives and his close friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met with him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, Stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Notice verse 28. Then he said to them, You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. He says, You know, when I come in here, by the laws in which I live under, I am now unclean and unfit for temple worship until I go through some cleansing ceremonies. And then notice the next statement. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. This is a whole lot more important than what this passage is usually used for. This is about the gospel. It's about how all men can come to Jesus Christ or come to God through Jesus Christ. That's what this is about. In fact, in the very next chapter, you can read it, if you read all of chapter 10 and chapter 11, Peter goes to all the leaders of the church in Jerusalem and he says, I had a vision and I was sent someplace and I came to these Gentiles and they worship God and God gave them the Spirit and I baptized them. And oh, by the way, we can go eat pork. No, he says, and God told me that I should call no man common or unclean. This passage and the great majority of commentaries, Bible commentaries, is used to say God changed the molecular structure of animals when what it's really about is the grace of the living God extended to all people. What a profound misunderstanding of what this is about. I want to look at one other law back in Leviticus. Leviticus 3:17. And this shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwellings. You shall eat neither fat nor blood. Now, how many times you pick up the newspaper or turn on the radio or the television, and there's some doctor telling you, don't eat fat. Americans eat too much fat. It's why we're obese. It's why we have so many problems with our health. Fat is not good for you, especially animal fat. Fat and blood are two things that the Creator said, don't eat those things because they're not designed for you to eat. Now, we're not talking about that marbled fat that gets in meat that you can't even see. We're talking about those big chunks of fat around the edge of meat. We're not to eat that because it makes us unhealthy. And once again, it took modern science thousands of years later to actually verify, this is right. In his book, What Would Jesus Eat?, Dr. Colbert gives some simple rules for better health that come right from the pages of the Bible. First of all, remove from your diet the meats the Bible calls unclean. Very simple thing to do. Don't eat animal fat or blood. And here's what's interesting with Dr. Colbert and others when they look at the Bible in the context of what did Jesus eat when he was on the earth. The staple diet of people in Judea in Jesus' time were whole grain breads and cereals. Now I stress whole grain breads and cereals because the processed foods we eat today not only have much of the nutrients taken out of them, that's why they shoot vitamins back into them, but they actually create foods that are harmful to our system. The refined flours that we eat in our bread and our cakes and our pies is actually harmful to us and can do great damage to the digestive system and other systems of the body. The staple diet of the Mediterranean at that time was rye, wheat, but they were whole grains. And so, simply remove from your pantries the refined and processed foods and start replacing them with whole grain bread, whole grain cereals, whole grain pastas, rice, not the white rice that's been bleached and all the nutrients are taken out of it, but the whole rice.
We'll be back to hear more about Secrets to Better Health, but first, here's how you can get your free copy of our booklet, Clean and Unclean Meats.
Some people believe that certain New Testament scriptures remove all distinctions between clean and unclean meats. A careful examination of the scriptures reveals the issue to be different from what many people assume. To learn more about this important subject, be sure to request your free copy of What Does the Bible Teach About Clean and Unclean Meats? You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232.
Today on Good News Radio, we join host Gary Petty in San Antonio, Texas, where he is talking about important secrets to better health.
But the problem is, a Snickers bar every day and that big piece of cake and ice cream every night after dinner, and there reaches a point where your body can't process it anymore. It just can't. But if we eat it occasionally, especially at special occasions, it does make those occasions special. It's a whole other subject, but sometimes you have to ask why we eat what we eat. A lot of times we eat certain foods because they're comfort foods, because of emotional reasons, because of when we were children. When I was a child, if we ever had a special treat, it was usually ice cream. Now, if I'm stressed out, guess what I like to eat? Big bowls of ice cream, right? Because I associate it with the comfort that happened as a child when my grandfather took me off and bought me an ice cream cone. It's one of my earliest memories. Ice cream once in a while is okay. But if you're stressed out all the time and you're eating a gallon of ice cream every day, your body's going to wear out real fast because it's not designed to do that. How about this? Eat 2 to 4 servings of fresh fruit every day. Remember that as a kid? Remember the little food chart? Eat 3 to 5 servings of fresh vegetables every day. Remember that? Every doctor agrees. It's that simple. Eat beans, legumes, and nuts every day. Eat a small amount of yogurt or skim milk or cheese every day. Eat eggs, fish, and chicken a couple times a week. Those things are good for you. Eggs, fish, and chicken. In fact, you notice how many times in the life of Jesus they were eating fish. Fish was a staple item of that time. We have to be a little bit careful about fish today because of the mercury content in it, because we've messed up the water so bad. Eat red meat once a week, a couple times a month. Eat red meat once a week or a couple times a month. Another thing you can do is simply replace cooking oils with olive oil. Simply replace your cooking oils with olive oil. And I hate to say this, you know, don't eat too many fried foods. You know, once again, if a person has a healthy lifestyle, the body can handle a certain amount of those things. Now, once again, just another warning. If you have existing health problems, you need to consult an expert, your physician, before you make major changes, even if they're changes sometimes for the better. You need someone to make sure you're not going to do harm to your body. But the changes we've been talking about, these are common sense changes. They're things everybody can do. All sure, it takes a little work. You've got to repackage more. Some things will cost a little more. But you know, if you cut out if you cut the desserts down and the empty snack foods down, it's amazing how much more money you can have for the other things if you simply cut those down. But you know, some of the things don't take any more money at all. And I tell you what, medical bills can be a quick way into the poorhouse. A quick way into the poorhouse. One last point here, because any discussion of good health is incomplete without mentioning the need for exercise. I mean, this subject has become a multi-million dollar industry. But let's face it, how many of us have health club memberships we've never used or a garage full of equipment we bought that's just out there collecting dust? But since we're talking about very simple principles, there is something that almost everybody can do, unless you're infirmed in certain ways or at a certain age where you can't function anymore. But anybody can walk. Anybody can walk. And walking is one of the most helpful exercises that you can do. You know, there were no health clubs in Judea at the time of Jesus, but they walked every place. They walked miles a day. They walked. We ride every place. We take elevators every place. You know, the lifestyle changes we've talked about are real simple. Breathing exercises, the need for lots of clean water, avoiding what the Bible calls unclean meats, a common sense approach to eating and exercise. Now, there's a lot of other important aspects to abundant health. One of the most important is the way we think and our emotions. Emotions have an enormous impact on our health. But, of course, that's another subject. We were designed by our Creator to live in Eden, a perfect environment designed for the human being. We were designed to be in that environment and have a relationship with Him. Because of our forefathers' unwillingness to submit to Him, and because of humanity's unwillingness to submit to Him ever since, you and I don't live in Eden. This isn't what God designed, and so we suffer stress, we suffer anxiety, we suffer diseases, and we suffer the inevitable march of time as we age. You know, God sent Jesus to this earth the first time to pay for the sins of humanity. He is coming back the second time to bring spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical healing to a very sick world. Bible prophecies give many details about how when Jesus Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He is going to bring healing to the earth. People will be healed of diseases. The earth will be restored. And in that context, He will begin the spiritual, emotional, and mental healing that human beings need. Because the moment we walked out of Eden, really the moment we were kicked out of Eden, we became very emotionally and mentally and spiritually sick people. There's a great hope that can keep you focused even in time of disease, even in time of illness, even in time of sickness. And that hope is that there is coming a time of healing on this earth. There is coming a time of great spiritual and physical healing. A time when Jesus Christ is going to return and establish His Father's kingdom on this earth.
If you would like to email us here on Good News Radio, and we may read your email on the air, both the good and the not so good, the address is gnradio@ucg.org. That's gnradio@ucg.org. Why were you born? There is a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future.
Some people believe that certain New Testament scriptures remove all distinctions between clean and unclean meats. But what do these passages really say? Most theologians assume that God's laws regarding clean and unclean meats ended at Christ's crucifixion. But is this what the Bible says? To help dispel misunderstandings, we have released a free booklet titled, What Does the Bible Teach About Clean and Unclean Meats? A careful examination of the scriptures reveals the issue to be different from what many people assume. A copy of this new booklet, along with a free subscription to the Good News magazine, is available free of charge by calling 1-800-966-9232. To learn more about this important subject, be sure to request your free copy of What Does the Bible Teach About Clean and Unclean Meats? You'll be glad you did. Call right now. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.